Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 and 11. It's on the button. We aim for honest intellectual discourse and honest discernment. We're not interested in media hype, media falsehoods, or the big lie. We don't want our time wasted with media lies and media falsehoods. Now, before I go into the topic of the show today, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself, those of you who don't know me. But I will give you this show concerns itself also with theological issues. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and in biblical and classical languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And I also have written many Christian books and have a number of Christian shows that I have been involved in. So, but before I go into this, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I'm going to talk about tonight and then talk about possibly what I'm concerned with today in this show. Now, the topic of this show tonight will be why no thought, why no debate. I can't say why people don't think too much or articulate too many thoughts. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they haven't been trained to do that. With this technology, may have affected their thinking processes, their verbal thinking processes. In that respect, it's hard to say, but it appears that there is less thought and as I say, there seems to be less thought and less debate. I can't say why. I think there are certain kinds of thought that we have developed significantly in science, computers, business, medicine, things like that. There, the thinking process is really quite good, and there have been big advances. But in verbal thinking, philosophical thinking, certain kinds of verbal thinking, there isn't too much thought. In fact, literally little thought exchange. And I don't know the reason for this. I'm going to go into it later in the program, but I'm going to talk a little about myself and where I'm coming from in this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for media lies, media falsehoods, the big lie. We don't go in for any of those things. We don't go in for political rhetoric or political lies or media falsehoods. We're not concerned with that. It's a waste of our time. And we recognize the nonsense it represents and the lack of intellect for your kids to have this imposed on them by the school system or the entire media system is a disgrace. However, that's the way it is. So, second thing is, this is a Christian show. I'm a Christian, but I respect all faiths. And I know Jesus' love is very great for all faiths, whether Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, gay people. He loves them also. He wants everybody to be with him in heaven and share the joy and love of Christ. As it says in 1 Timothy, one of the letters in the canon of the New Testament, Jesus wills that all men be saved and join him in heaven. Whether gay, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Muslim, the face of his love can be found in all those people. He died for them. He died for all men and women. And he suffered the torture of the cross for all humanity. Gay, Muslim, Shinto, atheist, communist, whoever they are, he loves them and wants them to be with him in heaven in the joy and love of Christ. Next, the show has a political element. I personally am political conservative on the issues of abortion and gay marriage, but I certainly have no hatred toward a woman who has an abortion or to a person in a gay marriage relationship. Jesus died for them. He loves for them. And I have great regard for them, and I want them to be with me in heaven if I'm going to be there. I'd love for them to be with me. Jesus died for all men, and he died for the people I just described, and he died for all mankind, from beginning generation to the end of time. Next, I think that you should know that I draw the line in my conservative political views in terms of my concern for the poor and poverty. That is following Christ. Jesus was very, very, very concerned with the poor and underclass people. He chose his disciples, tradesmen, fishermen. Many of his followers were poor and underclass, so-called sinners. It was said of him, who was this man that eats with publicans and sinners? And it was said of him, can any good come out of Nazareth? He said the poor in spirit were blessed, and the poor blessed. He didn't mean, let me make this clear, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't want people poor. He wants an equal distribution of wealth and income. But he also realizes that the poor will be rewarded in the next life for their suffering in this, which is why he calls them blessed. He doesn't say it's good to be poor. Jesus wants an equal distribution of wealth in our society as much as possible. I'm going to talk about my radio shows. I run a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and they're both Christian shows. And I have many, many visitors from all over the world. I have over 4,300 visitors from 80 countries to my podcast show. I've had many visitors to my blog talk radio show, even from Iran and Saudi Arabia. And in fact, I have a very good friend, a philosophy student in Iran, who loves my Christian books, which indicates her essential intellectual ability and her openness to all kinds of thought, which I very much value in this person, in her intellectual functioning. I think she's smart. She listens. She's open to other ideas, which indicates a smart person. Only a stupid person would shut off people. I think so, but I guess there may be stupid people around, or maybe there's not so many smart people around. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm that smart, but I don't shut people out. In addition to these two Christian shows, I also have written a number of books. I'm a writer. I've written 10 books. They are Christian books and legal books. Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and Christian Books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. I recommend reading the parables, ladies and gentlemen. They're the mind and thoughts of the Son of God. They're invaluable, and they deserve to be read 100 times, 1,000 times, before we can plumb the depths of Jesus' thinking in these parables. Next, I've written a book on the Psalms, over 150 Psalms. Again, for me, the Psalms, they are the great Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary, and I read them in English today. In Sunday school, I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalms. The Psalms are great lyric poetry. They're great pieces of literature. They're outstanding pieces of literary work. They're outstanding written work, and they deserve your full attention, ladies and gentlemen. But I say this, they are the spiritual fruit of the Hebrew nation of over 3,000 years. The thinking in the Psalms is very profound and very great. I can't imagine the number of times it says in the Psalms that we're supposed to aid the poor and widows and orphans. It's said 100 times in the Psalms. The Psalms are beautiful. They're beautiful poetry. They're all well worth reading for that reason. And their thinking is very deep and very profound. They call us, as I said to other people, I challenge you, whether you'll get tired of more of the Psalms in English translation or Dostoevsky in an English translation, you will not tire of the Psalms. You may tire of that Russian writer. You will not tire of the Psalms. They are untirable because of their literary and intellectual greatness. Read the Psalms once, read them twice, read them three times, read them 100 times. You'll never tire of them. Next, I'm writing a book on the miracles of the Bible. I've written one chapter. I've written a book on the New York Family Law and Practice. I've written a chapter on paternity in that book. I have written a chapter on Bender's Consolidated Evidence called Res Gestae. I've written a chapter in New York Jurisprudence called New York Criminal Law Demands and Notices. It's a legal encyclopedia. I've written three law review articles. which have been widely bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. The Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the State Department and, New York State and United States Supreme Court. The two Academicus articles, the Urbanian Scientific Journal, has bought my article on the United States educational system and its failure for our young people, and my opposition to sexual orientation discrimination. I may, in fact, disagree with my gay brothers and sisters in terms of their choice of life, but I wish no one to be hated or hurt or discriminated against for that reason. And in that article on sexual orientation discrimination, I came down 100% against that form of discrimination for our gay brothers and sisters. Well, that's about what I have to say in this matter. And tonight I'm going to talk about, very briefly, an interesting subject as to I'm going to talk about why there is an apparent lack of thinking in our present society and why there is no debate, no thought exchange in our present society. I can't say the reason for it, but let me say this. There have been certain intellectual advances in our society. One of them has been in medicine. Another has been in computers. Another has been in business practices. There have been certain advances, science. These all have been great advances. But in some ways, our society has declined in its verbal thinking, or philosophical thinking, you might say. I'm not sure why this is. I do know that people do not express themselves in terms of this type of thinking. They do so very rarely, if at all. And I can only speculate the reason for the lack of thought, in this respect, philosophical thought, or ideas. And I can't say the reason for it, but there are reasons probably, and I speculate for the reasons. I also note there is no debate. There's no thought exchange in our society. It seems to be people are disinclined to express their thoughts. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're afraid they're going to be criticized or lose their job. But there could be any reason. But let me give some reasons that I think are valid. Number one, we live in a very technologically advanced age of cell phones, emails, text messages, all kinds of technology. And this technology has resulted in a shift in our thinking, I think, to technologically oriented thinking as opposed to verbal, intellectually valid thinking. We're not engaged that much in word thinking. The technology is not concerned with words. It's concerned with other kinds of thinking. I'm not saying this technology thinking is bad or good, but it has to some extent replaced our verbal thinking, which was once predominant in our society for many, many hundreds of years, whether Plato or Aristotle or Aquinas or T.S. Eliot, or whoever you may name, Milton. These people all were verbally oriented. They were word-oriented. The thinking was in words. And in today's world, I don't think our thinking is word-oriented that much. We tend to be. Also, another factor is that everything is very fast in our society today. As I said, the technology predominates and changes the way of thinking from verbal word association thinking to electronic thinking. And I think that that's one reason for the lack of verbal thought in our society. A second reason is that everything in technology is speeded up. And valid thinking does not occur on a fast, speeded up basis. When things are speeded up, we lose our ability to make connections. We lose our ability to reflect. There's no reflection. So I think the second reason is speed. Everything is done very fast, so there's little room for reflection and thinking, almost no room for that type of thing. There's no time, really. Maybe that's the reason. There's no time for thinking. I think that might be another reason. Everything is very fast, and when things are very fast, there's a decline in thought and in thought exchange. And as I said, as a third reason, I said that the speeded up is another reason, the speed, and the second reason is the fact that there is no time to think. There is no time to reflect. We are pressured constantly to produce work, and everything is very superficial. And this results in superficiality, I think. And I think there's no time to think because things are so speeded up. People are so busy trying to earn money and trying to get somewhere financially that they don't have time to think. And there's a fourth reason. It's the emphasis on money. Money has replaced thought. Where there is money in present, there is no thought. There's a certain kind of thought as to how to earn money, but it's not philosophical. It's not intellectual. It's not Karl Marx. It's not Engels. It's not A.M. Forster. It's not any of these people who were verbal geniuses in their own time. George Eliot, another verbal genius. T.S. Eliot, another verbal genius. All of them were verbal people. And I give you a fourth reason, that is that there is no time to think. There's little or no time. I've given four reasons very quickly as superficial reasons as to why we have no thought or no thought exchange. The reasons are the following. Number one, technology. Number two, speed. Number three, no time. And number four, I think I said no time, lacking time. Number four, no time to reflect or think. So there's a number of reasons I gave. Speed, technology, which is a different kind of thinking than verbal thinking. Speed, technology, and money. The emphasis on money is another factor, which eliminates any kind of thought or concern for forethought. And the fourth reason I gave was the lack of time. I've given some reasons, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you've given some thought to what I said. I think it's very bad when people don't have time to think. Why this has happened, I don't know. Maybe there's policies behind it. Maybe the government doesn't want people to think. It's a possibility. Or maybe businesses don't want people to think. They want robots coming to work, going home. That's it. That's all they want. Maybe that's all they want or choose. They don't want anybody to express their views or thoughts because they are not concerned with it. They're just concerned with getting money for themselves. So I've given some reasons as to why there is a lack of thought and no debate. I hope you've accepted them and may agree with them or not agree with them. I've enjoyed speaking about this, and I may speak about it again tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed what I said tonight and that you have absorbed what I've said, and that you will change your family and your children from being automatons, mouths, to being thinkers. We want a society of thinkers, not robots. At this point, we have a society of robots. Let's get rid of these robots, and let's start thinking again and exchanging thoughts and ideas. How about it, ladies and gentlemen? No more robots. No more robots. Nothing but human thought and thought exchange and debate. I look forward to an altered society of thinking. And I ask you to join with me and your children in pursuing this goal of thought rather than robot. Have your children read and think, because the day they stop reading or don't start reading and don't start thinking is the day when our society will be pulled down and down further and further. The society without thought exchanges, is entering into virtual darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want your kids to live in darkness, that's your choice. But be aware, you have a responsibility for keeping them out of the darkness and bringing them into the light, okay? What can I say? What is the light? The light, one source of the light is Holy Scripture. As Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book, he said the Bible is the foundation of Western culture. He was right. He also said that images are images and television and computers and movies are drugs. And he defined it correctly, that these are images are drugs. And he said that we want to read books that will stretch and develop our minds, which is what we want for our children. We want them developed. We want them to be full-grown people, thinkers, real thinkers, not just automaton, not robots. I don't want robots. I don't want to be in darkness. I don't want to have my dear children that I know descend into darkness. I don't want that to happen. I want it stopped. Good night.